Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, March 16, 2017. We'll start with a story titled New Honor, site to be named Rita B. Garman Vermilion County Courthouse. This is written by Brendan Dennison, and there's a picture. There was no shortage of support expressed Tuesday for the Vermilion County Board's decision to rename the county courthouse after Illinois Supreme Court Justice Rita P. Garman. And this is out of Danville. Former Illinois State Representative Bill Black, also a past county board chairman and a lifelong Danville resident, stopped by to give his praise for the resolution. "I've seen some great people come and go from Vermilion County," he said. "We have a tendency in this county not to recognize certain people who achieve the pinnacle of their career. One of those people who archived such," Black said, "was Garman." He recalled how Garman, who started her career as a lawyer in Danville, was told in law school she was occupying a seat that should have gone to a man. But she persevered, he said, and continued to reference some of the highlights of her career. Garman, who worked as an assistant state's attorney for the county from 1969 to 1973, and became a circuit judge in the 5th Judicial Circuit in 1986, was appointed to the Illinois Supreme Court in 2001 and later elected to the court in 2002. Contacted Wednesday, Garman sent her reaction to the vote. "I'm humbled by this great honor. When Gil and I came to Danville almost 50 years ago to start our careers and our family, I had no idea that I was taking the first step in a career that would take me all the way to the Illinois Supreme Court. I want to thank the entire community for its confidence in me over the years and for this generous gesture. The Vermilion County Courthouse was my judicial home for over 20 years, and I'm gratified to think that my name will always be linked to the place where I learned so much and made so many friends." Danville's Bob Randall also supported the move and said it was both fitting and proper to honor Garman by the naming, and it would send a positive message. "Justice Garman has spent her entire career in the pursuit of justice right here in Vermilion County," he said. "She received her degree from the University of Iowa College of Law after being advised by her professor that she should pursue another field, that she would indeed fail as a lawyer, and female lawyers were not needed or wanted. Well, as you know, she didn't fail. She studied hard, got her degree, and ultimately, with her husband Gil, moved to Danville and was later hired by the firm of Sabic, Wanton, Banks, Lesson, and Garman." Randall also said Garman being elected to the state Supreme Court was a milestone for women. The resolution passed unanimously. Property Committee Chairman Wes Byritz of District 6 began reading the text of the resolution. One of the passages stated, "Whereas such service and dedication should be noted and remembered both as a testament to Justice Garman's dedication to justice and as an encouragement for others who seek to serve the public. Be it therefore ordained that the Vermilion County Courthouse shall henceforth be named the Rita B. Garman Vermilion County Courthouse." Board member Larry Bond of District 1 said it in discussions with area business owners and dignitaries regarding the resolution, some of the words used to describe Garman included class, leadership, devotion, fair, honest, and groundbreaking. Most of all, this bright star of justice still calls 7 North Vermilion Street home, and for that I am humbled to see we would be renaming the Vermilion County Courthouse, he said. Deanna Witzel of District 6 said she was strongly in support of the resolution, and it's about time we named something in Vermilion County after a woman. She added what Garman had achieved was unprecedented in the community, and one of the letters she had received stated in the Justice Department this would be equivalent to a governor. Todd Johnson of District 1 asked if there would be any costs associated with the resolution. Board Chairman Mike Moran replied there will be no direct cost to the taxpayer. He said all remaining stationery with the old letterhead will be used, and a special committee will be formed to raise funds for additional signs at the site. Moran said he had been asked why he had moved so fast on the decision and why it was important to him. He said her achievements were well stated at the meeting by how she climbed the ladder in her career against great adversity. But the way in which she did it, with grace and dignity, and what I feel is the most character value of them all, is humility. He said she's a very humble person. You wouldn't know she's obtained the highest office of her profession, which is something to be very admired. He added Garmin's accomplishments also should be celebrated for ourselves, because people like her don't come along often, and they get a standard by their conduct and the way they achieve things. Even if we're not successful in living up to that standard or achieving that high pinnacle of success, just that pursuit of excellence, that emulation of that standard, is something that makes us all better, Ron said, and is something we can all be proud of, and this county can be proud of, something that sets us off, makes us different, and makes us special. We need that in our county. Okay, the next story is titled, Alderman Recommend Garbage Truck Purchase. This is written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. By not making major solid waste capital purchases in the last two fiscal years, the city accumulated about $2 million in its solid waste reserve fund. Members of the Danville City Council's Public Works Committee voted Tuesday night 4-2 to purchase a 2017 automated side loader solid waste truck to replace a 2001 rear loader. Ward 7 Alderman Lloyd Randall was absent, and Ward 3 Alderwoman Sherry Pickering and Ward 1 Alderman Ricky Williams Jr. voted against the purchase. The full city council will act on the purchase next week. The truck will be used in cul-de-sacs and other locations that still require hand loading. The $225,550 contract is with RNOW Incorporated of West Allis, Wisconsin. Danville Public Works Director Doug Ahrens said the truck won't be used in some locations, such as on brick streets in the Lincoln Park area. The truck will eliminate one position from the usual three-person work. With some capital equipment purchase changes, no increases proposed this year in the monthly garbage collection fee. Williams said he'd like to see the updated five-year capital plan. He added that he didn't know if the city can make this purchase now. In other business, committee members recommended approving a $40,236 contract with Sprague Lawn Care of Stateline, Indiana. The contract is for mowing 77 abandoned non-city-owned lots monthly in the east central Rabbit Town and west central parts of the city, and the city paying Sprague $29.94 per lot to also mow monthly 91 city-owned lots in those areas of the city. The lots will be mowed from April to November. Funding comes from the Community Reinvestment Fund, which saw some funding shifts with the sale tax increases. Our cost is around $20 a lot, Aaron said, but added the city has difficulty finding dependable auxiliary workers who get to the lots about every 5 to 6 weeks, and the auxiliary can require another oversight person. I'm not suggesting it's saving anything. If anything, it's a break-even deal, Aaron said. There were two additional east and west areas of the city with the most lots, 105 and 73 respectively, in which the city didn't receive any bids. There are 200-plus city-owned lots that city officials intend to mow with city auxiliary staff because many of the lots still have structures on them. Aarons also said the city in the past had used the then-available probation crews to mow the lots. We feel this is worth exploring, Aaron said, about contracting out the mowing. They also approved disposing for scrap 5 1-ton dump trucks, 2 pickup trucks, 2 crack ceiling kettles, and other public works vehicles and equipment. The authorized a $264,588 contract with Cross Construction for improvements to the Walmart pump station. Funding comes from the city's sanitary sewer replacement fund. And they also approved a $44,055 contract for storm sewer repairs at Woodridge Drive and a $64,540 contract for storm sewer repairs on Sherrill Drive and Owens Excavating and Trucking of Oakwood. There is a deduction of $3,595 for the total amount to be $105,000 for award of both projects. Funding comes from maintenance of storm sewers in the Streets Division budget. The Streets Division budget would see a transfer of $45,000 from the General Fund Reserve. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and run through the obituaries. Dora Mae Stacy passed in peace at home on March 11, 2017. Memorial service will be Saturday, March 18th at 12:30 p.m. by Pastor Ed Stone at Bethel Lutheran Church at 901 West Fairchild Street in Danville. Stanley Edward Bud Bolton, age 93, passed away March 11th at the Warren Barr Nursing Home in Lincolnshire, Illinois. Visitation will be at Holy Family Parish in Danville at 10 a.m. on Friday, March 17th, followed by a memorial mass at 11 a.m. Graveside services will be held at Resurrection Cemetery following the memorial mass. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the Holy Family Church, 444 East Main Street, Danville, Illinois, 61832, or the Danville Humane Society at 1225 North Collette Street, Danville, Illinois, 61832. Michael Lee Murdoch, 66, of Georgetown and formerly of Cayuga, Indiana, passed away this life at 9:40 a.m. CST time on Saturday, March 11th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services are at 1 p.m. EDT time, Indiana, Thursday, March 16th at Diverter Funeral Home in Cayuga, Indiana. Officiating pastors Troy Horn and Gary Ferris. Burial at Thomas Cemetery in Newport, Indiana. Visitation at 10 a.m. EDT time until time of service with Masonic Rites by Perryville Unity Lodge, 344. Michael wishes were for casual dress. Please feel free to wear your favorite sports attire in Michael's honor. Contributions may be made to the American Kidney Fund, 11921 Rockville Pike, Suite 300, Rockville, Maryland, 20852. Dolores Louise Hagman, 92, of Sidell, passed away on Monday, February 27th at Newman Rehab and Healthcare Center in Newman, Illinois. A celebration of Dolores' life and faith will be at 2 p.m. on Sunday, March 19th at Emmanuel Lutheran Church, 390 County Road, 2400 East Broadlands, Illinois. Memorials may be made in Dolores' name to Emmanuel Lutheran Church Youth Group Mission Trip or to the donor's choice. Cremation has been entrusted to the care of Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, a celebration home in Danville. Nellie H. Palmer, 94, of Danville, passed away at 1:20 a.m. CST time on Saturday, March 11th at Colonial Manor Healthcare in Danville. Graveside service and interment of cremains will be held on Friday, March 17th at 11 a.m. EDT time at Thomas Cemetery in Newport, Indiana. There will be no visitation. Contributions may be made to the CARA Animal Shelter, 609 East 5th Street, Tilton, Illinois, 61833. DeVita Funeral Home in Cayuga, Indiana, is assisting the family with the arrangements. Wayne Cunningham died at home with his wife by his side, holding his hand early in the morning on March 9th at the age of 85. According to his wishes, he will be cremated and a private family service will be held prior to his burial at Danville VA National Cemetery. The family wishes to thank Hospice for their exceptional care. In lieu of flowers, please send donations to Carl Hospice at 206 A West Anthony Drive, Champaign, Illinois, 61822. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville, is assisting the family with the arrangements. Carolyn L. Anderson, 77, formerly of Rossville, passed away with family by her side on Tuesday, March 14th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of Carolyn's life will take place at Sunset Memorial Park at the chapel on Saturday, March 18th at 1 p.m. Per Carolyn's wishes, cremation will be handled through Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center with entombment at a later date. Edward Aaron Bird, 97, of Ridge Farm, died at 1:32 a.m. Saturday, March 11th at Pleasant Meadows Senior Living. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Saturday at Sunset's Houghton Leisure Funeral Home, 200 East West Street in Georgetown, with Pastors Mindy and Joe White officiating. Burial will be in Crown Hill Cemetery in Ridge Farm. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Saturday at the funeral home. June Pentecost Kuhn, 77, of Hoopston, died at 7:30 p.m. Friday, March 10th at Heritage Health Therapy and Senior Living in Hoopston. Memorial services will be at 1 p.m. Monday at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street, Hoopston, with Pastor Gary Milton officiating. Burial will be in Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the funeral home. And David H. Kirk, 73, of Danville, passed away suddenly on Tuesday, March 14th at his home. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. on Friday, March 17th at Pape Funeral Home at 10 East William Street in Danville. Mass will be at 11 a.m. Saturday at the Holy Family Catholic Church, 444 East Main Street in Danville, with Father Loftus officiating. Burial will follow in Resurrection Cemetery. Okay, the next story is titled District 118 Teachers Stay, No RIFs This Year, written by Carol Roem in Danville. The Danville District 118 School Board Wednesday approved the non-renewal of a contract for one probationary first-year staff member. The staff member, a social worker at Northridge Middle School, was already set to resign at the end of the school year. In addition, this time of year is typically when the district would announce a reduction in force, known as RIF, but Superintendent Alicia Geddes said there would be no RIFs at this time. We won't have any RIFs because we have a teacher shortage, she said. Board member Lou Henderson called the teacher shortage in Illinois a crisis. We're experiencing a teacher shortage in Illinois, and that's going to impact District 118, he said. Henderson said he recently attended a teacher recruitment event at Illinois State University in Normal, which he said provides 25% of the teachers in the state, and observed there were more recruiters there than students. Henderson urged the district to start its own Grow Your Own program to help generate interest in careers in education. We need to come up with a plan to serve our community, he said. Also on Wednesday, the board tuition summer school courses for 9th through 12th grades include government, U.S. history, 9th grade bridge, English and math, driver's education, health, PE, credit recovery, and English. Additional courses may be offered based on need and student enrollment. Two class sessions will be held each day, 7:30 to 9:40 a.m. and 9:45 to 11:55 a.m. The classes will be held Monday, June 5th through Friday, July 7th at Northridge Middle School. There will be a different schedule and hours for driver's education. No summer school classes on Monday, July 3rd or Tuesday, July 4th. Tuition will be $120 per course, $60 if eligible for free and reduced lunch. Classroom instruction for driver's education is at no cost. Behind the Wills driver's education tuition is $200, $100 for reduced lunch, and waived for free lunch. Also, alternative credit recovery for freshmen who have less than 10 years credit will be held 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, with lunch included, starting Monday, June 5th through Friday, July 7th at Kenneth D. Bailey Academy. No summer school classes on Monday, July 3rd or Tuesday the 4th. Summer school for 7th and 8th grades will be held 8:30 to noon, Monday through Friday, with lunch included, starting Monday, June 5th through Friday, June 30th at Northridge Middle School. Classes are funded entirely through Title I. Summer school for kindergarten through 5th grade will be held 8:30 a.m. to noon, Monday through Friday, with lunch included, starting Monday, June 5th through Friday, June 30th at Mark Denman Elementary School. The classes are funded entirely through Title I. Summer school for special education will be held 8:30 to noon, Monday through Friday, with lunch included, starting Monday, June 5th through Friday, June 30th. Kindergartners through 6th grade will attend summer school at Mark Denman Elementary School. Pre-kindergarten will attend summer school at Southwest Elementary School, and 7th through 12th grades will attend at Northridge Middle School. The board also approved using Title I funds to cover Project Invent for 25 to 30 middle school age children in 7th and 8th grades during the week of July 10th through the 14th at Denman School. The camp will be staffed with one director instructor and an additional instructor. The funds have been set aside for summer learning programs. Danville High School graduation has been set for 3 p.m. on Sunday, May 28th at the arena. Copies of the health examination forms are available in the school office or from the health care provider. Proof of an eye exam is due October 15th, and a dental exam is due by May 15th. Next story is titled, Hesser Named Superintendent at Hoopston Area, written by Carol Hicks in Hoopston. Suzette Hesser will become Hoopston Area's new superintendent effective July 1st. She will replace Hank Hornbeck, who is retiring June 30th. Thank you for the tremendous opportunity, Hesser said at Tuesday's meeting. It's truly an honor to have the opportunity to work with the students, staff, and community to continue the tradition of excellence in the Hoopston area schools, and expect more. Hesser, a graduate of Eastern Illinois University in Charleston, began her career as a fifth grade teacher at John Greer Elementary Grade School, earning the distinction of becoming the first teacher in Vermilion County to earn National Board Teacher certification before moving to Sterling Public Schools in 2002. Hesser completed her master's degree in educational administration at Eastern Illinois University and is completing a doctorate in educational leadership from Aurora University. She attended Harvard University's Graduate School of Education Principal Center in Boston, Massachusetts, for intensive instruction in the use of data and change leadership, and was chosen to participate in AASA's Aspiring Superintendents Program in Washington, D.C., according to her biography. Hesser grew up in Bismarck. She and her husband, Scott, have three children, Alex, Andrew, and Jennifer Hesser Brady. In other school board businesses, members approved a three-year contract with Hesser as superintendent and membership in the IESA and IHSA for the 2017-18 school year. They also approved was the employment of certified non-tenured teachers effective August 18th, and of Tim Hillard, Mark Iger, Rodney Comstock, and Kurt Spauer effective July 3rd. Board accepted the resignations of Hannah Watts, teacher, effective at the end of the 2016-17 school year, and Jill Cogran, middle school cheerleader coach, effective March 15th. They approved the transfer of Karen Berryman from high school special education to middle school education effective August 17th. Board members approved the employment of district administrator Susan Root as a principal of Maple Grade School, Dan Walder, principal of John Gurr Grade School, Ann Burton, principal of Hoopston Area Middle School, and Larry Maynard as principal of Hoopston Area High School for 2017-18 school year. They also heard an update on the transition plan to close Honeywell School at the end of the school year and a potential solar panel project. They also learned on an all-weather track project would put a 6-to-8-lane track in the present track field without moving bleachers or light poles. The field would have to be extended 18 feet to the south, said Mark Eigner, Building and Grounds Director. The City of Hoopston has made a commitment to the project of $230,000 during a 5-year period, according to Eigner, and the rest of the financing would have to be worked out. It's the all-weather track, really, for the community, he said. The next Hoopston School Board meeting will be at 6:30 p.m. on April 30th at Honeywell Grade School. Okay, the next story is titled, Ag in the Classroom, Kids Dig Chicks. Preschoolers learn valuable lessons from hatchlings, written by Noelle McGee in Danville. Danville Lutheran School preschool teacher Sue Heidel has had a few more little ones to keep track of recently. That's because 15 of 22 eggs the Vermilion County Farm Bureau dropped off in February hatched into fuzzy yellow chicks last week. They've been really fun to have in the classroom, she said. They've taught the kids patience because they had to be very patient while waiting for them to hatch. They're also teaching them responsibility because they have to make sure they have food and clean water. This year, the Farm Bureau's Ag in the Classroom provided eggs, incubators, and corresponding science, math, and agriculture lessons to 9 classrooms in the county. Rebecca Sweeney's third grade class at Potomac Grade School received 24 eggs. One of our students, Luke Townsend, brought in 3 of his own, so we actually had 27. We ended up having 18 hatch, and one was Luke's, Sweeney said. Heather Middle's first grade class at Bismarck Henning Elementary School also received 24 eggs, and all but 3 hatched last week. While they were incubating, students read books on chickens. Then they wrote their own book about the life cycle of a chicken. The kids read to the eggs, and now they read to the chicks, she said. They just love them. It's been an absolutely wonderful experience. Meidel has 19 students, so each student got to name a chick after they all hatched. We have a Fuzzy, a Franklin, and a J-Dog 12 chick, she said with a laugh. This week, they're writing a short fantasy story about their chick and the adventures they go on. Heidel's pupils have also been learning about the hatching process. The class, which has been studying famous illustrators, will also do art projects involving eggs and baby chicks and later conduct science experiments with eggs. We wrap them in bubble wrap and drop them into feathers and shredded material and rice, and the students will predict which ones will break. Heidel said the students have a few more days to enjoy the chicks. Before spring break next week, they'll be heading to retired teacher Diana Pratt's farm. Don't take them away, cried Jameson Hines. They can't stay, said Heidel, who hatched duck eggs when she lived in Key West, Florida, and knows how fast the chicks will grow up. Maybe we'll go on a field trip someday to see them. Nice heartwarming story to end up with. So anyway, that'll be it. Sorry, I didn't mean to hit that. That'll be it for today, Thursday, March 16th, 2017. I hope you all have a really good, hopefully it warms up this week, and you all have a good weekend. Happy St. Patrick's Day, and don't drink too much of that green beer, but eat a lot of that corned beef and cabbage. Anyway, have a good weekend. See you next week. Bye-bye.